Welcome to Beauty and the Gi, a podcast about jujitsu and so much more. My name is AJ Klingerman. I'm a Brazilian jujitsu black belt obsessed with jujitsu.
My name is Jennifer Risser. I am somehow also a Brazilian jujitsu black belt.
Yeah. And I'm Megan Timmler. I am a jujitsu blue belt and physical therapist.
And physical therapist black belt.
Right. I
still feel like
it's that now. It's been about 15 years. It's
yeah, that feels great. Okay.
You've got a degree or two on that.
I like that.
Welcome to the podcast. This is your first time on Beauty and the Gi, right?
It really is. It's my first time as a guest, but I was just telling a friend that how cool and kind of full circle this is, because I started watching or listening to the podcast at the very beginning of my jiu-jitsu journey about 5 years ago. So my husband had seen AJ seen you on Chewy's, one of his videos or podcasts, something like that. And he was like, you should probably listen to this podcast.
That's awesome. Why you started listening. And is that what brought you to camp to begin with?
Yeah. I think I heard you talking about camp on Chewy's video or podcast.
That's awesome. And now I know you've been a speaker at four of our camps. Well, this will be your fourth.
This will be the fourth.
Did you come to camp before that?
Yeah, for 1 year. So
one year.
Fifth year as a camper, fourth speaking.
Excellent.
How cool. This is our puppy Franklin's first podcast as well. You might hear some tippy tappies. He's already been through his frozen Kong and the time it took us to do that.
Now he's eating a chew. So
keep him occupied.
Exactly. We're doing what we can. Okay, so you have spoken a lot. We do workshops at camp. If you are not familiar with camp, they're sit-down workshops on different subjects every time. This upcoming camp, Rachel and I are doing one on mindset and competition prep. You're doing one, and then we have another workshop as well. Can you tell us a little bit about the workshop you're doing first?
Okay, sure. Yeah, and it kind of does tie in with the workshop that I did last year. This year, we're talking about the pelvic floor, incontinence, how that ties into jiu-jitsu, and what we can do about it, right? And the fact that we actually can do something about it. I think that's my main mission with this talk, is to help people understand that this isn't, if you have issues with it, it's not just how you're going to be the rest of your life, right? Like, there are things we can do. I think a lot of people in general, but women especially, who are going through it, just think that, well, I've had a couple of babies and I pee my pants now, and I know I'm 32, but I'm just going to pee my pants the rest of my life. And it makes my heart hurt when I hear that, because there's so much that we can do.
Yeah, I know a lot of moms that have said that. They're like, well, I can't do jumping jacks. If I do jumping jacks, I'll absolutely pee my pants. Like, yeah. Or, you know, like, they're jogging or jumping rope before class or something. And it's like, I can't do any of that. So
it's kind of the joke in the CrossFit world too, because like, if you're coaching a class and you know that there's jump rope in the workout, when you explain the workout, you say, hey, we're going to get started about 3 minutes. And as soon as you say that, half the class leaves because they're all standing in front of the bathroom door. It's kind of like the running joke in CrossFit. It's like, it doesn't have to be that way.
Can you give us any couple quick tips, or, you know, just a little bit of a peek inside that workshop, since, you know, obviously not everyone that listens to the podcast will be at camp. Although if you'd like to, it's not too late.
Still spots open. Yeah. So, you know, I like to start with just kind of an overview and the anatomy first, just kind of a brief anatomy. I'm kind of an anatomy nerd, and I think it helps people to understand where it's all coming from, right? Like, if you understand kind of what the makeup of it is and how, because I mean, to be honest, a lot of women don't, just a lot of people in general don't know the anatomy down there. I mean, it's kind of it's a sensitive subject a lot of times. And so I start with the anatomy and just what normal function looks like, and then what dysfunction might look like and what we can do about it. A lot of times and, you know, so that we can also talk about incontinence issues. We can also talk about pain and things along those lines as well. I'll be focusing mostly on the incontinence issues, just because that's what we deal with mostly in the jiu-jitsu world too. And a lot of times, just simple education on the anatomy, how things are supposed to function down there, and bring more attention and intention to how to control those muscles down there. So sometimes just knowing and understanding that these are actual skeletal muscles that we're dealing with, not It's not like a muscle like your intestines where they kind of operate without your brain. Your brain kind of does it automatically. These are skeletal muscles like a bicep where you can actually control the muscle. And I think a lot of people don't realize that there is some control over that. So.
I think knowing what's normal is so important. Like lots of times, I think makes me think of that little cartoon that's like, how much pain are you in? And they're like, the normal amount. It's like, actually, the
Right.
normal amount is no pain.
Yes and no. Yeah. And I think like it depends on what you're doing. Obviously, in jiu-jitsu, if you're like doing an active, a very active sport, a very physical activity, very physical sport, there's some, I want to say pain involved, but or if you're weightlifting or something like that, there's going to be some muscle soreness involved, things like that. But especially when we're talking about the pelvic floor and incontinence and things like that, I think we really could say that there's really no level of normal amount of like peeing your pants. Like if you're peeing your pants, there's something. It's and I don't want to say there's something wrong. I don't want to put a negative connotation on it. It's just like pain, right? Pain isn't bad. Peeing your pants isn't bad. It's just it's a sign that something needs to change, right? It's like your body's signal that something in its environment needs to change.
You said you were tying this into your workshop from last year. Do you want to talk about that a little bit? Like, what was your workshop last year? How does that tie together?
Yeah. So last year I spoke on breathing mechanics and how that relates to our jiu-jitsu. And obviously it can be a very important part of our jiu-jitsu just with, there's a lot of smashing and pressure and all that stuff. So we talked a lot about breathing mechanics last year, and I used the phrase core canister. We talked about the pop can and how, you've got your abdominals that make up the sides of the can, you've got your diaphragm that makes up the top of the can, and then your pelvic floor that makes up the bottom part of the can. And they all work together, and that's how we create this tension in the system, this extra pressure in the system that can help support your spine and all everything else. And talking briefly about the pelvic floor, last year was all about the breathing mechanics in general, but when I briefly mentioned the pelvic floor, after the talk, I think almost all of the questions I got were from people asking about the pelvic floor stuff and incontinence. And I was like, well, I know what we're talking about next year.
Yep, there's next year's subject.
Yeah. So it was just a small part of last year's talk, but it got all the attention. So I knew that that was a hot button topic for sure.
Yes, definitely. You guys can't see Megan right now, but I can, and she is wearing her wave pendant from
I
camp last
am.
year.
I added it on. Yeah, and I think I told you last year I added it onto my necklace. So this is a necklace that I've worn for years. I had to get a different chain for it because my chain broke, like I think right after I got this. But yeah, so this is a my sister has this. This says big sis. Hers says little sis. My other sister gave me this one, and then my mom, or vice versa. My mom gave me this one, my sister, and then I got the wave one. So it's my girl's necklace.
I love
Keep
that. I love that. Yeah.
it
I also have on my wave ring that I'm wearing
smart.
almost all the time, except when I'm in jujitsu.
Could we talk maybe a little bit about your credentials? Because lots of role models do know who you are, but some listeners may not know who you are or what you do.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I did mention I'm a jiu-jitsu blue belt. I've been training jiu-jitsu for about 5 years. And then I have been a physical therapist. I'm a doctor of physical therapy. And I've been treating now for I think 15 years or so. I graduated from Northwestern University in the city of Chicago. It's where I grew up. And yeah, I've worked in a lot of different areas in the healthcare system. So started off in an outpatient center, seeing a lot of variations of things, orthopedic issues, neurologic issues. We were also the department where a lot of the doctors in the area would kind of like, if they didn't know what to do with anybody, they were like, well, just go PT, they'll figure you out. But it was hard, but it was great for my problem solving skills and really getting comfortable seeing clients or patients that just aren't cut and dry, right? Like the issues aren't cut and dry. So that was my first 3 years out of school. And then when Paul and I got married, we took off and did contract work. We traveled for a long time, off and on. Home is Gainesville, Florida, but we traveled all the way to Washington State and Massachusetts and South Carolina doing contract work, mostly home care. So I spent a lot of time doing home care, which totally different from the outpatient center or outpatient setting. Yeah. And then Yeah, came home, did I ran I managed a clinic here in town for a little while, and but then we decided, COVID hit, and it was actually for us, even though we were in a healthcare system, really hard to find jobs. We happened to fall right in the middle of in between contracts at the time when COVID shut everything down, and all the contracts disappeared. Everything, like, you couldn't find a contract. And then of course everybody in town that we had great relationships with, nobody was hiring, of course. They were actually furloughing people. So we were like, well, this might be a good opportunity to start thinking about doing our own thing. We had kind of talked about it, kind of didn't want to touch it with a 10-foot pole because that sounds like a lot of work. And, but then we got to realize that it really, we can make it what we want to make it. We don't have to do what everybody else is doing. We don't have to do it, in any by anybody else's rules. We can make it what we want to make it. And we started to recognize that it was the only way that we were really going to be able to help people, truly help people the way that we knew that they deserve to be treated, the way that we knew that we could treat them by giving ourselves, more time, more freedom to really do, kind of work our magic. So here we are. Forge was born.
I love the phrase work your magic because I think I've seen you work your magic on a lot of people. You've worked with AJ, you've worked with several role models. Yeah, I was actually like sitting here thinking about all the different people I know you've worked with, and I was like, I don't think I can talk about that, but I can talk about that we worked together. Oh, good point. Yeah. And I think we've worked on several different aspects of my body. I do jujitsu, and I was not good at taking care of myself at all until the last few years. So I've had lots of nagging injuries. So it was really helpful to kind of work through some of those with you.
Yeah, no, it was great. Yeah, I think we did. We worked on a couple different things, and I think it's good too to get an outside view. A lot of people, especially if you're involved in an activity or a sport, or they think, well, I can figure it out on my own. But I think to get that outside trained eyeball, we're as physical therapists and a doctor of physical therapy, and I've been doing it now for a decade and a half. Like I have the trained eyeball to be able to. We say we're movement specialists, right? It's kind of like, a general practitioner, physician knows a little bit about a lot of things. As physical therapists, we kind of know a good amount about a lot of things. We have to know everything about the muscular system, the skeletal system, the nervous system, all that stuff. And so it's pretty specialized, and I think it can be really helpful to get that outside eye to really see those little nuances in the movement dysfunctions or imbalances that you may not be able to feel yourself as an individual, or may not be able to see it.
Yeah. Well, I know I appreciate you, and so do several other role models, and I'm sure people that aren't role models yet. Now, your first two workshops were on injury prevention and injury recovery, correct?
Yeah, injury recovery prevention, I think, was the first one. And then the second one was m mostly about like the importance of strength training for injury prevention, I guess.
Okay. Do you have any tips that you can give our listeners for either of those subjects?
So, yeah, let's see. So, let's talk injury prevention a little bit. So, obviously there's a handful of things that really have nothing to do with jiu-jitsu, nothing to do with physical therapy that we can all be really mindful of. And a lot of times these things, if you're not honing in on these things, then not a lot else matters really if these things are kind of out of whack. So, hydration, right? Making sure that you're staying hydrated, drinking your water, nutrition, making sure that you are eating and fueling your body for the activity that you're doing, making sure that you're getting enough sleep, right? Making sure that we're allowing our body, that's when we recover. So talking about injury recovery, like if we're injured and our tissues are needing to heal, that's when we're going to heal the most, is when we're sleeping. So making sure that we get good quality sleep, enough sleep. So those are kind of the main things. If we don't have those things in order, then all other stuff doesn't really matter. But then I talked about how stretching and mobility can be really important for that as well. Injury recovery, injury prevention. And on the other side of that, then strength training. So we can kind of get into that strength training thing as well. And I think a lot of women miss, they kind of misunderstand the actual importance of true strength training and using progressive overload. I think a lot of people say, well, I just need to stretch more. And that might be true, but if you're not training the muscles to operate and work in the proper ways and ranges of motion and building up muscle mass to help support the structure of the frame and the skeleton, it's the stretching and mobility is not doing a whole lot. You have to pair the two. So finding somebody who can create a really good, solid, well-balanced strength program with progressive overload, I think is really important. And I think not even as jiu-jitsu practitioners, but as females, right? As women, I've been using this phrase a lot. Muscle mass, and I'm not talking about muscle bulk, like looking like Arnold Schwarzenegger, but like building true healthy strength and muscle mass is the body's insurance policy. It's the body's bank account. Like that's because we have to admit, like as we age, once you hit like 35, 40 years old, it's significantly harder for our bodies to build muscle mass and increase muscle mass. It's not impossible, but it's a lot harder. So the more you can build up until then and then keep building and working at it and to find a way to stay consistent with it as you age, the more important it is. It's about quality of life down the road. It's about jiu-jitsu, but it's not just about jiu-jitsu. It's about quality of life. Like, do you want to stay independent as you get older? Do you want to be able to get up off the floor? Do you want to play with your kiddos and your grandkiddos? All the things. So, huge proponent of strength training.
Is that something that you do for others? Like, do you put together workout programs?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep, that is definitely something that we do at Forge. I say we, it's my husband and I who run it, for those who don't know, but yeah, absolutely. And that's what a lot of the girls that I've been seeing in the role models world, I've actually been seeing quite a few of them for quite a while now. So we worked on maybe initially they had X, Y, or Z ailments. And so we kind of worked to calm down, put the fires out, calm the symptoms down, work in a rehabby kind of way of like rebuilding, reteaching the system how to move well. And then once they're feeling better and the injuries are kind of no longer a factor, that's when we get into the fun stuff. That's when we get into the sexy stuff of actually loading the system, right? Like the rehab stuff's like kind of the not sexy stuff. It's the boring stuff. And although the way we do it in rehab is different, I think AJ, you could probably attest to that it's different than traditional PT. It's not, even though we were doing it virtually, there's still a lot that we can get done and a lot of, again, it's about strengthening. So it's not just, I'm not just going to throw somebody a band and have them just, maybe that's part of it, but it's not the only thing. So yeah. So the strength programming has been a lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun. We actually started using a new program that can actually send you reminders for your workouts and you can log all your weights and your stuff and, all that kind of things. And I can kind of see it on the back end. So it's a great way for accountability too, to hold accountability and kind of just keep people consistent with it.
Very cool.
So yeah, it's nice too because I do know a lot. If it's a jiu-jitsu practitioner, I know the game, right? So I know to be able to, I can program some things. If we're talking about strength training, I can program some things that I know are going to be more jiu-jitsu specific or, specific to that individual because I, know their things what we've worked on in the past, something along those lines.
And the things that would help, like with their style of their game and stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
Yeah,
very
and
cool.
that's helpful too with injuries because that's what I've gotten a lot of feedback where people are like, you know what the best thing is about this? I don't have to spend 45 minutes to you to explain to you what a Kimura is. Or like, I got injured doing this thing and I don't have to spend 45 minutes explaining to you what that thing is because you already know because you've done jiu-jitsu.
Yeah. And I hear that time and time again when people go to the doctor for ailments and they're like, when can I get back to jujitsu? And they're like, I don't know what
Yeah.
that is. Like, when can I get choked again or armbarred again? And they're just like, what?
That was one of, to be honest, going back to talking about when we started Forge, that was one of the main things that we were like, Paul and I kept hearing people, both in the CrossFit world and the jiu-jitsu world, people coming back to us from their doctor's visits saying, well, I told my doctor I hurt myself doing CrossFit or doing jiu-jitsu, and they told me I was too old and I shouldn't be doing that anyways, and I should just stop. And I was like, that's the opposite. It's the opposite of what you should be telling people. And they just don't know, right? I try not to get angry at the clinician, or at the physician or whatever it is, but they just don't know. They don't understand that by telling somebody to stop doing CrossFit or stop doing jiu-jitsu, they're not only telling them, well, A, they're not giving them any alternatives. They're just saying, well, you should just stop. But
Yeah.
no other ideas of what else they could potentially do because they're not thinking like, well, you still need to be active. No, they just want them to stop. And they're not just taking away their physical activity, they're taking away their social group and circle. They're taking away their mental health, their ability to decompress at the end of the day, their stress relief. There's so much more that goes into jiu-jitsu than just the sport or just the building that you're in when you're training, right? It's like there's so much more. And we all know that. But I think people who don't do it, they don't know. They just don't get it. So that's why we were like, okay, that is the biggest reason why we started, is because we were tired of hearing that. And we're like, it gets to be better. It can be better than that. We were tired of using that or hearing that as an excuse.
Yeah, I love that. I feel like as coaches, sometimes we like have to override the doctor. Like, yep, doctor said I could get back to it. We're like, no, doctor
No.
doesn't know what this is. You're not ready.
Exactly. And I think, yeah, it's like it goes both directions, right? So it goes, you should just stop doing that altogether. You're too old for this. Or they're like, yeah, sure, whatever. Go
Yeah, you can
get
do
Bartle.
anything.
Yeah,
Can
exactly.
you?
Yeah, I don't know that you. So we try and be that kind of go-between of like, actually, let's talk about true tissue healing and healing timelines, which is that was what, one of the things I talked about in one of my talks. But so we try to give people the freedom to stay like active for life, right? That's kind of our thing is active for life. And not or, right? Active for life. And we also sometimes have to rein people in because, jujitsu people are excited, and I know why. It's exciting, and we because it is such a strong part of people's lives. They just want to get back to it. But we try to take the situation, whatever somebody's situation is, injury, whatever, and let's not stop everything altogether. Let's find ways to work around it so that we can heal, but also still see our friends and still learn and still get movement in a safe way that's not going to damage further the fur you know further damage the tissues. And so there's always something that we can do to stay active and stay moving and heal at the same time. That's where we come in.
So there's one more thing that I want to talk about. And after I say all the words, if you're like, I don't want to talk about that on the podcast, we'll take it out.
Okay.
Okay. So in the past, and I have done some podcasts talking about like the community of jiu-jitsu. Risser and I just did one a couple weeks ago talking about the community. And you are one of the people that said, if it weren't for the role models, you might not have stayed in jiu-jitsu. Will you talk just a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. So I started jiu-jitsu. So I said I started about 5 years ago, and I started at a gym that was great at the time and great for when I needed when I was first starting. And the environment, it was a good environment, safe environment, and my husband trained there. That's why I started there. And it changed over the years. And so I was there for, I think I was there for about 3.5 years or so. I got my blue belt through that gym, and but things changed over the years, and I felt like it became a pretty, people like to use the phrase toxic environment, but I mean it's maybe not toxic in the way that some other people would think of it, but there were signs and things that I wasn't comfortable with, my husband wasn't comfortable with, the personalities, things like that. So and also there became less and less women to train with. So there was a while where I'd show up for class and I was the only female to train with. I was the only female there, period. And some of the men I could trust because they've been there for a long time. Others, there were a lot of like transient young males, white belts coming in and out and coming and going. And so I just couldn't trust them because obviously they weren't really controlled. They were brand new. The staff wasn't helping with that, and I just didn't feel safe rolling with a lot of people. So sometimes I'd go to class and I just didn't have anybody that I felt safe rolling with. And I got really sad because I was like, how am I like, and I actually started to think like, maybe jujitsu, maybe this isn't my thing. Maybe this isn't something that I should be pursuing. It got to a point where I had to just take time off. Like I was like, I'm just gonna pause and kind of wait it out. And had I not been, because I think I started going to role models, I think I was a year into jiu-jitsu when I started going to role models camp. And had I not had even just that one thing to look forward to in the summertime, and knowing that I can come to Indianapolis, see literally hundreds of females on the mats at the same time, let alone like 11 and 12 and 15 black belt females on the mats at one time. That was so encouraging for me to see in that environment that knowing that, yes, back home, in that current space, that environment was not great, and it was hard to train there, and then hard to make the decision to take a break, and hard to not train at all. And but knowing that I had role models to come to as inspiration, be like, oh no, it can be different. Like to see AJ, you guys running your gym the way you do, and to see to go because I've been to several, quite a few of Rachel's camps, and to see how Rachel and Ray run their gym in Nashville, and it was very, it made me very hopeful that oh, okay, it's not. This is a one-off. My situation at home is a one-off. It can be different. And so it did encourage me to step out of my comfort zone at home and kind of branch out and start looking around. And so I did. I took about 5 months off, and I 5 to 6 months, I think, off. And then I finally ripped the Band-Aid off. It was really hard to go back after it, which seems kind of silly, you know, like 5 months flies by really. But yeah, it is, it was like ripping a Band-Aid off. So but once I did, I actually, the first class I went back to was at a school about 45 minutes north of here. I knew the people. We had previously been to a couple of seminars there, and we were friends with the owners. And so I knew them. I felt comfortable with them, and I just dropped into a class up there. But I, as much as I would love to, it was just too far to make the drive for me every couple of nights. So, but it gave me the confidence, like, oh yeah, jiu-jitsu. Oh, I like this again. It wasn't the sport or the game. It was the environment. I just needed a change of environment. And if I hadn't had role models, and you or AJ and Risser and Rachel and Ray, if I didn't have all of that, I probably still wouldn't be, I wouldn't be training. I can pretty confidently say that I probably wouldn't be training. So
Thank
thank you.
you. That I
Thank
appreciate you
you.
sharing that, because I, you know,
Yeah.
like that it every time we talk about it, I get it warms my heart.
Oh, I know, I got goosebumps just talking about it.
Okay, so I guess we should wrap up because we've probably gone over what we said we would. We really appreciate you being on.
We're really excited about your session at camp, as always.
Yay,
Yes.
me too.
Yeah, and I know lots of other people are looking forward to it. Everybody always loves having you there and having you talk and learning from you.
Oh, and I do want to mention too, in case it wasn't clear in there, we do virtual. I know we're based in Gainesville, Florida, but we do virtual sessions, right? Like that's all the role models girls that I work with are virtual sessions. I've got clients from all over the country. So I think sometimes people think PT and it has to be in person, and it really doesn't. That's the cool thing about what we're doing with Forge, is that we can reach so many people virtually. There's so much that we can do just hanging out on a Zoom call and with education. So
Yeah, and you're so much better served working with someone who knows what jujitsu is
yes.
remotely than with someone who's in person who doesn't know what we're doing. So highly recommend her. Reach out to her. All of us have a nagging injury. Heal it before it gets worse.
Yes.
Looking at my wife for that.
There's always more to work on. Where can people find you if they'd like to connect with you?
So of all the socials, I'm mostly on Instagram. My personally, you can find me at nutmeg012, which is the and it's nutmeg with two T's, NUTTMEG 012. That's the same instant AOL instant messenger handle that I had from way back in the day. Nice OG handle there. So nutmeg012. If you are looking for information on Forge, you can go to at Forge Performance PT. And then we are the same on our website, forgeperformancept.com. Yeah, there's contact us buttons on the website. You can send us messages through our Instagram. I think that's about it. You'll find us the
Great.
same place, Forge Performance PT on Facebook as well.
Cool. Where can they find us?
Beauty and the Gi. And I'm AJ Klingerman everywhere you go, except TikTok, where I'm role_model. I'm also role model everywhere you go. So if you want to follow us on Instagram, it's role model grappling.
Cool. I'm Jennifer Risser, and you may or may not find me. Who could say?
Just message me, I'll reply.
There you go.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Role Model Camp is July 11th through the 13th in Indianapolis, Indiana. There are still a few spots left if anyone's interested in attending. But until then, we will see
See
you on
on
the
the mat.
mat.
We're still working on that one.
Yeah. Beauty and the Gi is a production of the Brassy Broadcasting Company and brought to you by Role Model Grappling.
Again, you look at me like there's a script.